Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel concert March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit EverybodyWinsLive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, March 11th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're going to have an interesting show. You know when you are so excited that you cannot sit down properly because I'm having actually a history show, right? A history show about the Bahamas. And of course, to have that, I actually have a representative from the AMMC. I actually have in studio, finally. I had to do a lot of massaging and convincing to get this busy man here. The director of Antiquities, Monuments, and Museum Corporation is actually in studio. Came up from his busy schedule to say, hey, whatever you want to ask, I'll come and I'll sit down. I'm going to carve out an hour for you. And you just put that question because the other day on TV, there was a big celebration, some kind of ribbon cutting, opening of the gates at Colin's house. And I said, open up the gates? Colin's house open up already? Let me call this director and see if he is willing to come and explain exactly what is happening. Because I drive by, I see the gate open. But I look at the house, and say, man, the house ain't ready yet. What are they talking about? So I say, I'm going to get Mr. Don Cornish, Director of Antiquities, AMMC, to come on the show to give us detail about the movement, the direction of the National Art Gallery of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and also to go and delve in some information about the forts. I'm not sure if you pass Fort Finn Castle and see the water tower. Construction is happening at the water tower. Finally, and I want to know, get an update on that, because I see all kind of construction areas over there, and they doing all kind of work, and I want to know, what is the plan for the water tower? Because I see they already clean up the 66 steps, right? I have some ideas for the 66 steps, but the 66 steps is like a premier site now to go to, and the AMMC has a number of feathers in their cap where they bragging You know, could you hear as you listen to the show, you could hear that Mr. Cornish would be bragging about his accomplishments since he's been director and what all they are doing. So all of that and the timeline, I'm going to interrogate him on. But if you wish to join in this conversation, you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And then we'll put some questions to Mr. Cornish. Without further ado, Mr. Cornish, welcome to Guardian Radio AM.
Thank you very much. Good morning to your audience. It's good to be here.
Good. So I'm going to start off from the beginning. You're the director. What does the director do? What does the AMMC? And then we'll start our conversation after that.
Well, the Act of 1998 allowed for the creation of the National Museum of the Bahamas. And the National Museum Act also calls for establishment of a corporation, the Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums Corporation, which is the, I guess you can call it a corporate sole or the sole corporation responsible for management of the National Museum of the Bahamas. And that act basically also provides for a board of directors who are responsible for the oversight. And the director is responsible for the day-to-day operation of the National Museum, all the staff, the direction in terms of what exactly we do with the antiquities. And antiquities, of course, you know, are things of value over our history. It could be artifacts, it could be monuments, it could be forts in this case and other locations, museums obviously. And to create a context where we have research and scholarship in support of the historical heritage of the Bahamas, as well as to provide for an avenue to protect and preserve our built environment meaning everything that we've constructed over the years that we value over 50 years of age, meaning that any building that predates 50 years can be considered an artifact, antiquity, etc., any structure for that purpose. And so part of what we seek to do, of course, is to attract the talent to manage it. We have conservators who are a conservator. We have archaeologists and we have curators who are responsible for museums and other technical staff, anthropologists, on our staff. And they are the ones who are responsible for ensuring that we provide the level of guidance, the level of scholarship, research and assistance with directing the National Museum's work. Of course, we have other support staff in various categories like every corporation would. But in the general sense, the whole intent was to ensure that at the end of the day, the Bahamas has an opportunity to celebrate its cultural heritage, its tangible cultural heritage with the built environment. This also includes underwater cultural heritage. For example, we license persons who want to explore the underwater, whether it's a shipwreck or any other artifacts that they feel they ought to explore in the sea. And so they have to go through an approval process with us. And, of course, the minister responsible would then make a decision whether they should be licensed. At the moment, we have two active licenses. One is just exploratory. There are two categories of licenses. One is exploratory, the other is recovery. The exploratory, of course, is exactly that, for persons then to make a determination of whether or not it is worth their while to look and to see what they can find. They may have had some intelligence based on some coordinates that were given to them about a shipwreck from, say, the 1700s, 17th century. Or they may be, or even earlier or later, as the case may be, or they may be aware of some treasure or valuables that they want to pursue and they want to get a recovery, the right to recover it. So, of course, they would work with our archaeologists and our conservators as well and go through the process with us to be assessed on whether or not they have the capacity to be licensed in that fashion. And then, of course, there are requirements, there are regulations that determine how that is managed in both instances, both licenses, whether it's the exploratory or the recovery license, as the case may be. So we basically, we are concerned about all of those facets of our history and how we are able to move that forward. I know you mentioned also the museum side. And that's something we always want to encourage, because museums are repositories of our knowledge. And speaking of repositories, we have thousands of artifacts in our collection, both at our location on Collins and Shirley Street. And the valuable items are, of course, held at the central bank because we don't have the security capacity.
So you have valuable items held at the central bank?
Yes, sir.
Like what?
Gold.
Oh, okay.
Silver.
Okay.
Precious metal, you know, jewels as well.
Jewels too?
Yes.
At the central bank?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have items that have been found over the years in the Bahamas, underwater and otherwise, that are secured as a part of our collection. And so those, of course, have to be protected in a different fashion. So you wouldn't see them in a normal circumstance walking into a museum. So that's basically the gist of our mandate as a national museum. Now, what has happened is there's been an inversion. So people normally refer to us as AMMC, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we are the National Museum of Bahamas, AMMC.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see I have a caller, but before I introduce the caller and to engage you, mm-hmm. recently there was a ribbon cutting by the Prime Minister and some dignitaries at the AMMC, right? They call it the opening of the gates. I want to understand exactly what that means. Is that saying that Collins House, the National Art Museum, is open?
Well, it's not an art museum. That's some other people.
Okay.
But the National Museum is a work in progress. But the National Museum, I gave you a document. And imagine that as a country, we have a hub in New Providence or Nassau. And there are spokes that lead to the rest of the Bahamas. And I liken it to a wheel. And you're looking at the wheel in front of you, where the National Museum represents the entire country. Of course, the hub is here in New Providence at Collins, where we're located. It's a physical location, but it's also a figurative location. And so what we did the other day was that we opened the gates that have been locked for well over 20 years. And that was intended to invite persons to the largest green space in New Providence, but also to begin the conversation in earnest about exactly how the National Museum at its hub ought to be represented. And there have been several iterations of how the National Museum should be represented. People have talked about a downtown museum and other locations, et cetera, but we have inherited a building a little over 20,000 square feet that has been utilized over the years. First is Ralph Collins House, and then later it became the home to St. Andrew's School, and then the Ministry of Education, and then sometime in 2000 and or so, it became home to the National Museum, Antiquities Monuments Museums Corporation. Several efforts have been made to restore the building in order to make it useful as a National Museum. What our effort was on the 31st of January was to open the grounds, not the house. So you'll notice that there's a construction fence across the building. The 6 acres that we have is being refreshed so that we create an experience within the grounds of Collins, the Collins Estate, so that tours can start, people can come in again. We create vending spaces, and we do what is possible to create an experience for people in the tourism industry in particular, where guests can begin the conversation about what is coming with the restoration of the house, what is coming in terms of the opportunities to represent our history in one repository, the central location of Collins House itself. The ceremony had nothing really to do directly with an opening of a house,
mm-hmm.
Or a museum. It was to create the partnership with the Bahamian people about what the possibilities are to create that hub and to have the spokes. Because bear in mind, the National Museum is not just at Collins House. It's every artifact, every museum, every monument, every historic location in New Providence, all intertwined to create the National Museum concept. So this was the beginning of that partnership conversation about what we're doing and the opportunities that we want to create to complete the National Museum concept, starting at Collins House and reaching out into the rest of the Bahamas.
We're going to go in detail with that, the possibilities of what we should be anticipating. We have a caller on the line, and the caller been waiting for a minute, so I'm going to engage this caller, and then I want to speak about the possibilities. What exactly is being suggested or being proposed for the ground, Collins House, and then we'll move on from that and talk about the wider the Bahamas, but of course New Providence first and the wider Bahamas. But we're still staying on the Collins House and the National Museum of the Bahamas first, and then we branch off to what?
Rachel, as usual, yeah, and your guest, how you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, if you forget about your past and you don't know where you came from, you won't know where you're going. The reason why I brought this up is, right, is because not everything in our past is beautiful or nice, but it makes us who we are today. We took down Columbus statue, right? Ask your guest, as a historian, should we have taken down the statue? Second question, on the local market, how much is the statue valued? And third question before I hang up, right? Downtown area has a lot of historic buildings that are dilapidated, but what is the extent of renovations could we do to, or allowed to do, I should say, to historic buildings? I'll hang up and wait for your answer.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Well, Columbus.
Yeah, tackle that Columbus question.
Yeah, the Columbus question is quite interesting, and you know, it's an important part of the conversation we need to have. One of the things that we ought to not overlook is that the Columbus statue was damaged, and that there's been a debate for some time about what do we do with the space and whether or not the right person was there. I'm not here to answer that question, but what we do know is that in our strategic planning, we've looked at a national monument and statue program. And so one of the things that I want us to begin to think about is how should we best represent those persons who've made a contribution to our country from the inception throughout all the civilizations, and whether or not they ought to be placed in front of us in a way that is quite clear to generations that we honor their place. You know, we have some so-called leaders, former leaders, representations that are very small, very diminutive, and then we have some that are larger. And so we have to make that distinction about how do we shape it. You know, I was in Berlin, and I've been to Europe and other places where statues are 20 feet tall, 50 feet tall, you know, very, very pronounced. And then you come to the Bahamas and you see a bust. Mm-hmm. And you see, almost a four-foot statue.
Four-foot statue.
Yeah. So what are we saying? What is the message? More so than the persons in front of us, what are we saying? How do we best represent those persons who give 100% of what they are to us, and we celebrate so much in so many other ways. We verbalize it, but it's not in front of us. So speaking to the issue of the value of, say, a Columbus, anybody else, I think we ought to have a discussion about who and how these representations are best done. And so I think the National Museum has a duty to the Bahamian people to be that place where they come to shape the museum and the statues and the monuments in a way that best represents us, because we're teaching our children that this is a career that they ought to pursue as conservators and archaeologists and everybody else. So they should be the ones to have that discussion based on what they're able to determine from their experiences, from their education, and then to present those images to us.
So rapid question. Does the Columbus statue come under Antiquities, Monuments, Museums Corporation?
It does, in the sense that it's an historic figure, but in terms of the jurisdiction, obviously, it's Government House, and you know that comes under the Cabinet Office and the like, and of course the Governor General's House, the Governor General's office itself. What I think ought to be the discussion is how monuments ought to be managed in general, whether they're vested in us. The vesting process is something that I know has been started. So in terms of jurisdiction, obviously, yes, we expect discussion. But the actual vesting or the conveyance of it to us formally for our management is something that we're pursuing right now to ensure that we have the parameters legally to go ahead and do what needs to be done to replace it or to repair it, as the case may be.
I'm going to deviate because I still want to go back to what is being proposed for the National Museum of the Bahamas. However, you mentioned jurisdiction, and I didn't want to leave that question out. Two libraries are closed that I noticed near that Bay Street area. The one on, what street that is? That's the one by the archives. I'm not forgetting what street that is. That's Collins Avenue. No, Collins, Markey Street.
Uh-huh.
And then the old jail that is
Nassau Public Library.
Nassau Public Library, right? I'm not sure if that's under your jurisdiction or under Ministry of Education.
Education.
And because you mentioned jurisdiction, I said, let me go right there one time and then let it come back.
Well, let me just say that I just got a call this week that a library committee has been appointed, and they've asked for our representation, obviously. We sat at the table to have a discussion about it, even though the lines are kind of blurred between some ministries. There are agencies and ministries that do work with us. And in this case, there's a National Library Committee that's pursuing, the renovation, repurposing of that building as well, which is quite good. And then just pivoting to the question about the historic buildings on Bay Street. Part of what we do is we work with the various agencies trying to ensure at the end of the day and stakeholders that we're able to support preservation of any kind. Obviously, a private building, the owners have to make a decision on the cost of renovations and improvement preservation. But we try to guide that process. So once the application comes to us for consideration, we make our recommendations. Most of the applications would also ask for an exemption so that they could get assistance with the reconstruction, refurbishment efforts. Of course, that's subject to Ministry of Finance final approval as well. So there's some components that we're involved in. And of course, according to the regulations are very silent in terms of the parameters that we have, the legal teeth that we have, if you may. And it's something we're working on very diligently. Our board has been trying to address it as well. And so those conversations need to be more advanced with the public in particular, about the extent to which they'd wish for us to be involved in the conversation so that we can provide the support that's necessary to move more quickly before these buildings fall apart.
Good. So we're going back now to the grounds of the National Museum of the Bahamas. And this text, must you read my mind? It goes, good morning. What can the public do at the grounds at the Collins House? Is it operating as a park or a garden? Is there any seating, any parking, any restrooms, any cost to come there? And I was going to come down that avenue. And since the texters already asked it, I put it to you.
Great question.
What can I do? Since it's open. And mind you, when I went there, I went on a tour recently, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I went on a tour there and you saw the vision? I saw the vision and I got some chills of the possibilities. But I said, I need to bring Mr. Cornish in so he can explain exactly what is this vision? What is this end product? And whilst I was there, I saw tourists. I saw tour guides coming in. I saw tour buses coming in. Now, and I said, what are they doing? What are they coming to do? Right? So tell me, guide me through, what is it? Is there a cost, like the German acts,
the
texture acts?
There is no cost at the moment. Part of what we want to do is to create what I call critical mass. And I think in development, you always want to be able to get ahead of your PR and marketing in a way that you don't have to do as much work and spend as much money. Part of what happened was that once we opened the gates, people who have a good opportunity to do an immediate tour downtown just flashed through our gates and started coming and telling the story of Ralph Collins and telling the story of Nassau and telling the story of the bootlegging era of the 1930s. And so when you start to think about it from the context of what we will do, what we are doing is we are creating recreational space for vendors, and that is an active process right now. In fact, some of the renderings are being developed as I speak. We are also improving our landscaping. We do have events already. We just had the, I think this is Junior Junkanoo Champions from the former Centerville Primary School on property. We sponsored them to a nice little event on the lawn. The Great Lawn is available for events. We also
so I can book the place out now?
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing active bookings for it. You can book it for, in fact, the chief of protocol just did his photo taking at the Great Lawn last week, well, almost 2 weeks Friday. And, you know, we have other spaces. Of course, we do have public restrooms, really attractive restrooms. I think somebody was
yes.
there. So there are no porta potties. We have a lot of spaces that we're curating for some very unique things. In fact, sailing is our immediate focus for an outdoor exhibition. And we expect to have not only the boat building aspect for the dinghies, but we also want to have classes of sloops. There are four classes, A, B, C.
So you plan to have exhibitions on the ground itself?
On the grounds, yeah. We have a space that we've already set aside for sailboats, for, you know, Bahamian-built boats to be on display. That includes not only the physical boats.
Replica of boats or boats?
No, no. These are retired sailing boats, A, B, C, and E class, as well as dinghies that will be there on the property as a part of the curation using the electronic boards and us Baywood Science to provide the curation we need to talk about how the Bahamas connects. Because, you know, boat building... the sea is a natural connection to all of the islands of the Bahamas. So the National Museum basically provides that connectivity. And so having that as the first exhibit at the National Museum, at the grounds, we believe is a way in which we can begin that conversation in earnest. We're going to provide that space so that those individuals can come and they can see the history of boat building, how it really provided a means by which economically the Bahamas could develop, the settlement of the islands around the Bahamas that was principally done by some of these same types of boats, and the fact that the sailing became a sport, which provided another avenue for an expression of what we are and who we are as Bahamians.
So you're saying that the outside grounds is going to be inside Collins Avenue Museum, and there's going to be an outside Collins Grounds interactive showcase.
Yeah, well, the exhibits are not just going to be in a physical stable building that's stagnant and stiff. And, you know, what we want to do is we want to create spaces where people are comfortable and then they can get the history curated. Because you can imagine you walk into the grounds and there's a map out front and a site map. It shows you the entire grounds. And, you know, you can go on the passive deck on the eastern side if you want to have a cigarette and have a drink or whatever and relax. There's a great lawn in the middle where we have a teardrop waterfall, which will provide a rest space if you want to have lunch. We want to encourage people to come on property so that they could also enjoy the ambiance in general. We have a waterfall in another passive space overlooking Shirley Street. And then as you come into the grounds itself, there will be a bandstand where there will be Bahamian music and craft and food for persons who want to have that experience. Just above that, near to where the bathroom block is, there will be what we call an outdoor kitchen. And there will be a space where we're going to provide, you know, a fire hut and rock oven for cooking demonstrations. Persons can actually buy a package to see Bahamian food being prepared, and they can enjoy that food at the same time. They'll also have space for a craft demonstration of every kind that we can find. And so those persons will be a part of a real experience, and there's a myriad of things that are going to be connected to that. There's also going to be a very intimate wedding chapel that's going to be built within the property as well. So that 6 acres that we have is going to be maximized in a way that Bahamians will feel a sense of place. The tour operators, as you rightly mentioned, are already coming. And so their partnership is quite important because they've already and making us a part of their route without us having to ask them. We had meetings with them. We had them sit down, and we talked about the plan. And they're quite excited that, you know, there's an opportunity to do a tour right near the cruise ship. And so this is a quick opportunity for them to make money that, you know, helps to provide them what they need. But by the same token, it gives us that physical presence on property. So when these exhibits are open, then their guests can get out and have an experience, get food, get drinks, buy souvenirs, and leave some more money in the economy.
So what you're describing so far, this is phase one, which is going to be outside. This is separate and apart
yes.
from the Collins House,
right.
the museum, the National Art Museum. And you're saying this is going to be more interactive. Are there going to be any artisans walking up and down, anything like that happening on the ground? I'm just trying to get this ground vision that you're saying.
Well, Collins House itself, the museum is being planned. The government has appointed a national advisory committee. I chair the committee along with some very, very, very talented Bahamans. You know, some of their names, I won't call their names on here, but it's a national committee comprised persons who basically have made a contribution in various aspects, from the tangible cultural heritage to the intangible cultural heritage, persons who are in the arts, persons who have written books. I mean, these are persons who have made tremendous contributions throughout aspects of Bahamian life. And we had a vision session. I brought them together on Saturday past. I made them work on Saturday, and we were together for a few hours from 10 in the morning until after 1 o'clock. And we talked about what should happen in terms of the space called Collins as a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got their feedback. I had an international consultant who chaired us a portion of that session. And then after they were done, then we did a tour of the actual Collins House itself and the grounds, as I did for you. And talked about the possibilities of what can happen in the ground. So this is a well-thought-out process. It's not just Don Cornish with an idea. But this is a consultative process that will include the fact I have a mandate to ensure that those persons in the Family Islands are represented appropriately, so the National Museum actually represents all that we have as Bahamians.
I'm talking to Don Cornish, director of the AMMC, the National Museum of the Bahamas. What he's talking about costs and money. I'm not sure if it's mentioned inside the budget as yet. When he comes back, I'm going to tickle him, poke him, poke the bear to find out, you get the money yet, right? Because I see construction's happening, right? But I want to know if the money, if the bag land, has the plane landed and he say, hey, we done start. The museum construction didn't start, the grounds didn't start, or are we waiting? Are we waiting for the politicals to come and say, hey, yeah, well, let's put that in the budget and then we'll start. We'll be right back. This is Guardian Radio AM, and of course, I got to move quickly because I want to talk about the water tower and other things like that. And then I want to talk about even some things were donated to the National Museum already. I want to know where they're located. Like all the gold medals for Sir Derwin, who has them? You have them? They're being stored. Are they still going to be used inside the National Museum? But anyway, we're going to take this quick break. Again, we'll be back speaking to Don Cornish, the director of the AMMC.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, 56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, 33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
Everybody Wins Live is bringing you the ultimate giveaway, a brand new Cybertruck. For every $30 spent, you're in the drawing for the ultimate grand prize, a Cybertruck. Drawn live at the Vibes Cartel Concert, March 29th. You'll also be automatically entered to win tickets to see the world boss himself. 25 lucky winners every single week. Visit EverybodyWinsLive.com to get into the game. See website for full terms and conditions. Must be 18 or over to participate.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this show is being sponsored by the 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship. It's going to be held at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, of course, from March 11th through March 16th. They watched our Junkanoo boys take on the top teams in Panama and the United States. Of course, it's free to attend. It's definitely free to attend. So come out. I'm just going to remind you that our local team, the Junkanoo boys, tend to play at 8 p.m. So you have time to come out and support them, and that's going to be March 11th through 16th, the CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship that is happening shortly. Before we took a break, Mr. Cornish, I mentioned Sir Durwood and his medals and his trophies. I mentioned monies, whether the bag land, whether the government say yes, here's the money, start the construction, because I see construction happening. Right? I want to know if the money reach.
Well, one of the things that we've had over the years, we've had contributions from several persons. Of course, Sir Durwood, and there's been another legend in sport who has reached out, his family has reached out also to donate their uniforms. This is something, and memorabilia. One of the things that's quite important for us is to ensure that we are able to highlight and determine how we display the artifacts, if you may, of persons who would have made a tremendous contribution to nation building. So that is not overlooked, and that clearly will be one of the focuses. There will be space for that purpose. And so what we will honor that entirely. In our budgeting, obviously, the capital budget is approved once per year. And so, of course, the budget starts fiscal 2025, fiscal 2026 starts July 1st. So where we are now in our planning is that we're talking about projecting into that period. And our preparation for that is coming out of fiscal 2024, 2025. So the aesthetics that you see and the other items that you see are really intended to lay the groundwork. So we've had partners come on stream who talked to us about their part from the private sector. And so this is not just going to be the public. And we're talking to them about more tangible ways in which they can make a contribution, either through sponsoring the ground, sponsoring various aspects of getting there, if you may. We already know what the overall cost likely will be. But the principle is for us to soften that to ensure that the burden is not entirely upon us as the Bahamian people from the governmental budgetary standpoint. So we have no illusions that we're going to go get $50 million and do this museum. So I wanted to spell that rumor. What I do want to say is up until even Friday past, we had a meeting with a foreign diplomat. I'll just leave it as a foreign diplomat and a foundation who have access. What do you need? How can we assist you? And so today is my deadline, actually, when I leave here, to get that correspondence to them, laying out exactly how we propose to get where we want to go and how they can assist us. One of the strategies is for the provision of support from the outside that would include technical expertise towards completion of certain aspects of the construction that needs to be addressed. We have had, as of January 2024, a full assessment done. The MEP has been done. The quantity surveying has been done. Well, MEP is mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. And then, of course, we've looked at the architectural as well as the structural. And so on a visual, obviously, people say, well, oh, that's an old building. Yes, it is. But the building was built the same year as Government House. So when you think about it from a structural standpoint, it's extremely sound. We've had several tours of it, and the testing has proven that, you know, it is a building that could very well be preserved without any major issues. And so where we are now is in the partnership phase with the public, as well as we've made a request in our budget. Of course, budget deadlines would have been last week for the government capital consideration. And we do know that we can strategically make this happen within 36 months based on the plan that we put in place in support of private sector and government contributions towards its end. If those partnerships that we're seeking happen, then, of course, there would be no need for us to impose on the public treasury, if you may, for funding for the National Museum.
So the public can come and assist with speeding up the ground construction?
Yes.
We have a lot of rich people here, man, so that we can push that
Yes, issue. And we've been having those conversations. I have a board, and I've spoken to them about the possibilities of developing a little bit more of the initiative phasing, as well as we've talked about the director's circle, a group that I've brought together, and we're going to formalize so that they will assist in identifying persons who do have an interest in partnering with us towards success.
Okay. Let's pivot. For decades, they've been talking about the water tower. The whole Bahamas waiting on this water tower to be refurbished. In fact, a number of people just give up. Say, man, they never refurbish it. I pass Fort Finn Castle and see...
Scaffolding is up. Scaffolding is up.
This look like construction is being done.
Construction is being done, and you know we've waited. In fact, since April last year, we've been in really heavy discussions. There's been a back and forth. There's been some resistance and pushback and some interference. But
resistance and pushback?
Yes.
Interference?
Yes, and there's some persons who had a vested interest in preventing it for whatever reason. We don't know the justification. But as of yesterday, we sat in a stakeholders meeting and we got 100% support to close Fort Finn Castle.
What do you mean by close Fort Finn Castle?
To close Fort Finn Castle for the entire construction period to ensure safety and timely completion.
The straw vendors know you're going to close Fort Finn Castle?
The straw vendors were part of that discussion, and they are now being, if you pass by Fort Charlotte, you'll notice that there are tents being erected for that temporary relocation, which they've agreed to, actually. And this is what I'm talking about, that we actually had a face-to-face meeting about what's in their best interest. And all of the stakeholders, including the transportation providers, have agreed to mobilize towards Fort Charlotte.
What about the 66 step? Are you closing the 66 step too?
Well, bear in mind now that, you know, you have repelling, you have concrete that's spalding up over the heads. And in fact, there's a column of about 3 meters just above where the vendors are that's cracked. And if you look at it, it very likely can fall in the direction of the vendors. It's very unsafe to be there. In fact, it has to be properly repaired. And so apart from the fact that the water tower construction crew are unable to put up their scaffolding and operate properly with all the movement around the fort, you know, it's actually people forget. It is the most popular site and most visited site in the Caribbean, in the entire Caribbean, in the cruise business, Fort Finn Castle.
I have a caller here, and I want to interject you, but so much things I want to talk to you about, man. But I still want to... Caller, you got to be quick, because I still talk about the Fort Finn Castle. Go ahead, caller. Caller Grant Wendt.
Fort Finn Castle, would you tell Mr. Cornish that the residents of Fort Finn Castle have not been consulted on any crap they're doing up here?
But you sound mad, dude. You don't want to want the tower fixed?
The people of Fort Finn Castle have had no consultation, no input of any kind. You let Mr. Cornish know that.
I can tell him, and then I can arrange to have a meeting to inform everyone in Fort Finn Castle that we need the water tower fixed. Okay. So I'm just letting you
know. I hear him. Part of the challenge we have, of course, is there are many stakeholders. And as I was saying, you know, we had a meeting yesterday. Obviously, we're going to have more meetings. But ultimately, the safety of our guests is because you cannot have a major construction project going on and you have guests walking around. I've been there on random days and people are blowing their horns trying to drive around a fort where tourists are trying to patronize the services that we provide. I have been told myself, people just walk up and say, excuse me, I want to park over here. Random, the director, David, don't care about that. And we had a guest struck by a vehicle last week. You know, there's too much movement around it. It has to be managed and controlled. All of our stakeholders who have a vested interest in the fort itself have agreed. Now, obviously, the public has to be advised, and that's a process. And so that communication is coming. I hear the caller. I understand his concerns. But, you know, at the end of the day, we will not get 100% support for all the things we do, but we have to do the right thing. The right thing is to ensure that no one gets hurt. Because can you imagine, you know, you have almost, a couple hundred pounds of concrete 80 feet up above the heads of the guests. And you can go up there and look at it on the north side of the water tower. So this work is critical to ensuring that we protect life and property. At the end of the day, and I'm going to take you up there so you can see it, because this is real. You know, we can talk about how we feel about things and our opinions and consultation and all the other issues, but the reality is that safety is paramount.
I'm just glad you know, you're doing something.
Yeah, and, you know, I will hear the objections, but at the end of the day, we have to be realistic. I have a responsibility as a director of the National Museum to finish the project, to ensure that it's done. People who look at the Queen Staircase know that we are serious about making a difference there. Once the vendors are relocated, we're going to make an effort to clean up the site and to ensure that when they come back, they have better premises, they have proper stalls, which it has been agreed will be rebuilt in their favor. And so the construction is anticipated to be finished in 4 months.
I'm just going to ask how long it will be. 4 months.
4 months. That is the projected time. We are already behind schedule because we've made compromise after compromise. We've been delayed. Because persons have cried out and said, oh, you didn't tell us, you didn't consult with us, oh, we need more time, oh, it's a busy season. There are many, many, many reasons. But we have to make decisions.
So let me make it clear. You're saying Fort Finn Castle is going to be closed. You're going to put like a record gate or some sort? And you
can't? A fence, the liability of it requires that the contractor put up a fence so that he can secure the site, to ensure that he's able to continue his work. He cannot get his $2 million liability insurance unless the fence is erected, which means that the taxpayers of the Bahamas will be paying him until such time as the site can be secured, and any, even if he's not working.
Any anticipated date for this closure and this construction?
The closure will happen by the weekend. So we're getting
this weekend?
Yes, we're getting ahead of it. As of Monday morning, all the vendors will be relocated to Fort Charlotte. It's that urgent for us. This is something we've been working on for 1 year, you know, and the whole issue for us is, I mean, there are many persons who silently are saying they were not consulted and now they're raising their heads, and I understand that. But I'm very much available to speak directly with them and they can tell me how they really feel.
Sound like a town hall meeting or a PSA?
If necessary. I will have those conversations because, you know, when I assumed the chair in November of last year, I was deputy before that, we had many, many meetings to talk about improvements to that site. We intend to improve all of Fort Finn Castle as best we can. We intend to have further engagements about it. You know, but it cannot happen if we continue to delay it because someone disagrees. You know, I understand the disagreement. But in this case, the tower itself has to be finished.
You know, I plan to invite you back because we so many things I didn't get to ask you, and I only reached the Fort Finn Castle and the water tower. What is proposed, and we only have 3 minutes left, but what is proposed or being proposed that you're going to do with the water tower? Because when I was younger, we just gone up and just look over the whole Bahamas with that one elevator.
But that will continue. What we're doing there will be an elevator. We've talked about decorations on the outside. Someone has said maybe put the crown back that was there in 1966 when the Queen visited. And, you know, there is a light that we have for the top. Of course, you remember the light.
I remember the light.
Which was quite important. The light is going to be replaced. There'll be a gift shop, obviously, from the retail standpoint. And the observation will continue. We've been approached by a number of persons who want to do other activities as well, which I can't speak to. But obviously, we want to ensure that whatever is done maximizes the opportunity for people to get that view of Nassau. to have the experience. It's the most in the downtown area. It's the most visible location in the downtown area. And it is an attraction for persons coming into downtown, coming by harbor, by boat, etc. And so we want to ensure that we do as much as we can to enhance it for future generations of Bahamians to benefit. And that is the ultimate goal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cornish. I mean, I'm excited for you. I see that you're working. It makes it have me imagining your swan gliding on the water, but under the water, your feet paddling like crazy, trying to accomplish so much in so little time, and so especially with the budget you have. But I'm glad to hear that there's construction, there's work being proposed, being acted upon for the water tower.
Yeah.
I would like to have more discussions on the people who live adjacent next to the water tower and so close, and how are you going to deal with that? I'm entertained that the Fort Finn Castle monument, the fort itself, is going to be closed off.
Temporarily.
And then I want to have some more details about how that's going to impact the 66 steps and people exercising.
Yeah.
But that's later on. I'm just going to say these are the questions I plan to propose to you when you come back again.
Yeah, we're actively working on that. So obviously over the next few days, I said it to you and I kind of jumped ahead of the public relations. But we just want to forewarn people as well that the discussions are headed in that direction. We'll talk about the plan in more detail with them more directly, but I think it's quite important for them to know.
Understand people, that this is happening.
Yeah, because people, they'll be the very ones that say, you never told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're telling you because it's a necessity for us now. There's a danger there.
Yes.
And when there's danger, you make a decision. You cannot leave it as it is.
I've seen pieces from the water tower fall down before.
Yeah, and it's falling. You know, and the thing is, you look at that column. I was there yesterday, and we have no choice but to close the site,
mm-hmm.
you know. So notwithstanding the so-called, consultation, we got to make a decision. And we will take whatever criticism comes with that. But we're going to be responsible with the way we manage the property that's been entrusted to us.
Thank you very much again. That's Dawn Cornish, Director of Antiquities Monument Museum Corporation of the Bahamas. Of course, that's an extension of the National Museum of the Bahamas. We went into detail of what they're doing at Collins House on that property there. And then we mentioned and gone some detail about the water tower and the Fort Finn Castle. I plan to invite you back again.
I'd be happy to
talk about Grand Bahama. I need to talk about Long Island. I need to talk about these other monuments around New Providence and what you are doing about that. So I need to make a booking because the Bahamian people are interested. And now we find that things are happening. We want to know what is happening in the timeline and what can we do to help.
Yes.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.